We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It seems like the NFL is trying to use Jay-Z's immense cultural capital to get back in with a community that frankly feels a little ambivalent about them because of the way that they treated Colin Kaepernick.
Kneeling was not about a job. It was about injustice. Let me bring attention to injustice.
Dale Arnold.
What a hoodie
at? I mean, I graded out 99%. One pump return rep.
I know the guy was real fast. I went 100%.
Rich Keefe.
You have cowboy boots?
Oh, hell no.
They're sort of impractical here.
And you looked funny.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. If you're driving around the city of Boston tonight, of a mind, join us for the Red Sox radio broadcast tonight. This is my final weekend of calling games for this season. Huge celebratory applause breaking out all over the city of Boston right now.
Why if you're only if you're driving around?
Well, not everybody listens to the radio at home. If you are, that's great. My assumption is most of the
people... If you are, you're 90 years old.
My guess is most of the people who are listening to the game on the radio are driving somewhere.
Yes, that would be spot on.
You know, you're moving
around. I was thinking after this afternoon, maybe taking my kids out to the beach and having pizza on the beach, maybe we'll bring a radio
that's
and listen
perfect.
To Dale.
Would you do that, please?
I'll try.
I think you'd have to download a radio app, right?
I don't know. How's that work?
You don't have... There are no portable radios anymore?
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
I think I have a portable
I don't know
radio.
If we're still...
I do somewhere in the garage.
I don't know if they're still rolling around.
I have a portable radio. It's in my hand. Yeah, it's called my phone.
I don't know if they're still rolling around with boom boxes on their shoulders. I mean, I don't know if you're going to find that.
Oh, I have a... Like when we'd go camping, you know, you'd have a radio that you'd take camping. I have that in the garage somewhere. I don't know where.
I thought you downsized.
I did. It's in the garage.
I thought you told
somewhere.
Your wife if you haven't used it in 6 months, get rid of it. But you got to keep your stupid little radio.
5 years, but yes.
Well, when was the last time you used your stupid little radio?
Well, it's been longer than 5 years.
Yes. 5 years ago. Bro,
plus, you left the batteries in it. They blew up, so now it's ruined.
Probably did.
Before you move on, Dale, I need to apologize to you.
Yes, you do.
According to the text line.
Oh, thank you.
Andy sucks, quadruple exclamation point. Enough with the replay. Bleep. Oh. He's killing your show, Dale. So I apologize for killing your show.
See, here's the problem with that. Not that I disagree with the texter, but here's the problem.
Shots fired.
I asked for Andy to be on the show, so what does that make me?
Oh, that makes
responsible.
You
responsible.
Well, it makes you a bad judge of character.
You're responsible for anything that happens between 10 and 2, so I can say anything.
So
if I get fined by the SEC, I'm sending it to you and your platinum
card. The blood is on your hands.
So I got one guy over here who's killing my show. I got another guy over here who's saying, well, it's not really a victim in that crime.
Advocating for credit card fraud.
Yeah, that's not really a victim.
It's a victimless crime.
No.
It's actually the exact opposite. Everybody's the victim.
All of us are the victims.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're all victims here.
That's not exactly what you were saying.
Well, I'm saying the big corporations, the credit card companies are the ones that, they're the real criminals at all.
You're appealing to the little man.
Yeah, so hey, listen, if you want to finagle the bagel a little bit, you know. Do what you do. Ain't nobody holding nothing against you.
I just want to play this one piece of audio, and then we'll get right back to the calls with you guys, just because it cracks me up. So, Get Up was on this morning. I don't watch it. It's on TV over here sometimes. But I saw the audio on Twitter, or I saw the video, I should say, and it got me seeing. I wanted to hear the audio. We don't really know what's wrong at this point with N'Keal Harry, right?
No.
We don't know if it's turf toe. We don't know if it's a hamstring. We don't know if it's an ankle. We know they sent him back to Boston last night. Not a good sign.
Nope.
Because they want him to get looked at. You got tons of trainers down there. He could get treated down there, just like Julian Edelman is and others. But they shipped him back to Boston.
Because they might want him to see a doctor or go to the hospital and get something checked out.
So evidently they were discussing the whole turf toe thing. On Get Up this morning. And I don't know who was Greeny was there and Sam Ponder and Rex Ryan. I don't know who the fourth guy was, but there was another guy on the panel there. And they were discussing it. And Sam Ponder lost it.
That was Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
removed. Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay,
now, most
we got to quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right. Well, let's not talk about feet.
I was going to say, I almost that.
I can't stay for this.
With that, we wrap up what's been a terrific week. Rex, I'll never see you again. The Little League World Series is next.
So, Sam Ponder lost it.
Yes.
I kind of give Rex credit for that.
Own it. Well done.
I mean, good for him. Well played, Rex.
He should have been like, well, so what's wrong with feet?
Well, he sort of kind of did.
He doesn't like toenailless feet. Like,
yeah. I think he's
how
got
do they just
fetish.
Rip that out?
Yeah. Just take it
you've
off.
See, have you seen that?
I've had that done.
Well, let's not talk about feet.
Not the Bobby Carpenter way for
so,
it.
So you intentionally toenails. Had toenails removed?
Well, not intentionally. Why?
Well, this guy apparently did.
Yeah, Bobby Carpenter.
Preemptive strike.
He was a linebacker for the Packers. And
the Patriots. He was here for a year, right?
Yeah. I had some issues.
There was
like,
a Bobby Carpenter for the Bruins, but I don't think we're talking about the same guy. Yeah.
Well, I had issues, you know, a lot of the pounding on your feet and whatnot. There was, you know, time where I had, like, would get ingrown toenails that would be, and they would have to rip the toenail off.
And how do they do it exactly?
They shoot your toe up, and then they just
pull? Yep. Like you're pulling a weed?
That's it.
And then what happens?
And then you got just, you know, whatever you have when you never had, like, you never lost your toenail, then it's just, you know, I don't know, whatever that is.
But wouldn't that leave,
sensitive? They grow back, though, don't they? I mean, toenails will grow back.
Yeah, like fingernails, you know, they grow back.
I've never had my fingernail removed either.
I mean,
it grows at the end.
Isn't it
sensitive underneath where the nail is?
I had one drilled one time.
Oh, because like blood underneath?
Yeah. Yeah, I had one drilled.
But what they do is then they obviously put a pad over it and they wrap it up, you know, and then you go out there and play.
No one's sucking on that toe.
But this guy actually, this guy actually went to the trainer or a doctor and said, look, take the toenails off before the season starts and let's be preemptive here and take the toenails off.
I mean, I guess if you had problems, you might as well get ahead of it. Like a lot of people who run the marathon have end up with toenail problems from the pounding or blood flow or something.
Well, you know, you got to think in football, right? It's the position that I played, we're always like breaking down. And so your feet are just at the front of your cleat, constantly just taking a pounding. It seems like what Bobby Carpenter was saying as a linebacker, he's constantly getting his feet stepped on.
Right.
And now you get these big guys stepping on your feet. That's the worst. If you have a toenail issue and then you got this massive giant just step on your toenail.
But what if I don't have the toenail? Isn't there now a sensitive area that's getting stepped on?
Well, they pad it up. And what happens is once you take the toenail off, as it grows, like it doesn't hurt. Always, it's just like a couple days, and then it's just
sort of seems like it would hurt a lot.
Yeah,
for a while
initially, but then,
I'm saying, I mean, until it gets back to its full length.
No. It doesn't. It goes away. Then it's just like nothing there. You know what I mean? Now it's there's no pain or anything like that, unless somebody actually steps on it or whatever.
So back to N'Keal Harry.
Yes,
just
back
because
to his feet.
Well, no, back to this because we don't know what's wrong. As I said, we don't know if it's turf toe. We don't know if it's an ankle. We don't know if it's a hamstring.
Did somebody report on turf toe, though? Wasn't there a report out there of turf toe?
I've seen lots of different things. But here's my point. Your first-round wide receiver.
Yes.
Who's got to rely on everything from the waist down to do what he does for a living, whatever the issue is here, this is a red flag all over it.
Yeah, if your dogs ain't right, oh, man, you ain't doing nothing. You know, it's like that was it.
That should be a T-shirt.
Well, that's the saying. You know, that's a lot. If your dogs ain't right, I mean, it's like try driving your car without no wheels and rims on it. See how far you go. And that's what, you know, you talk about N'Keal Harry playing the wide receiver position. And that's what hurt Deion. I mean, I'm not saying it's turf toe or anything like that. But any foot or feet, it's very difficult for a skilled player to be able to skill out there and play a lineman. It's not a big deal.
So this is concerning. If you're a Patriots fan, first of all, you're not exactly hip deep in receiving talent at the moment anyway. You've got between injuries, whatever. I mean, you're down several guys that you're counting on to play wide receiver. I think Julian will be there, obviously, opening day. I understand that.
But your number two won't be because I think they were planning or sort of pointing towards N'Keal Harry being your number two receiver, your outside target. And I always forget it, but I know Bill has sort of mentioned in the past like a conversion rate of you miss one day of camp, it's like missing really like 5 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then as they start to stack up, because these are reps he can't get back. Because
right.
once they get into the season, it's game plan related right. reps. And now he's trying to catch up and learn all the offense while he's learning the game plan.
And you're
so
trying
he's
to,
missing important stuff right now.
And with the reps that you're missing, you're missing out little things. How to set up this route. What's
right.
the best way to do it? It's, you know, people say, all right, you go out there and you get mental reps. Mental reps are good, but you still miss the pot of like, okay, you get the mental rep and you go, all right, I would have did this if I was in that situation. But unless you're out there, you can't do that.
So I'd much rather N'Keal Harry miss, say, 4 weeks in November than 2 weeks now. Because 2 weeks now is laying the foundation.
But
once he has the foundation, he can build
on it. All right,
so
tell me what, I mean, here's the story as we believe it. He initially pulled up lame, got hurt, whatever you want to call it,
yes.
in Detroit, the practices with the Detroit Lions, and all of a sudden, and we say, oh, they'll shut him down. He's out there the next day.
Well, he was actually out there later that day doing some conditioning work.
And then he's back right. out there the next day.
Yes.
Now he plays, which shocked me.
Yes.
Shocked me that he's playing in the game. And he comes up lame again.
Mm-hmm. After the last catch, there was that weird sort of twisting as he's falling back forward after a back shoulder throw. And everybody was analyzing, trying to look at the leg and
right.
the toe and the ankle.
Because
so Mike Giardi, by the way, reported that he's dealing with something lower leg, could be toe or ankle.
Now they play him.
Right, right.
We think he gets hurt again.
Yep.
So we're thinking, okay, you know, let's shut him down. All of a sudden, he's on the trip to Nashville, and he's out there again.
Right. Which would seem like a good thing.
Well, that's what
I
thought. That's what I thought.
But then he doesn't really practice.
Now they've got him on a plane back to Boston.
Well, and then what we talked about is prior to that, it was, we don't know, but the reports were it was a hamstring, right?
Right.
So now you're like, oh, okay, well, he wasn't going to play because we thought the hamstring. He does ultimately play, and now it's not the hamstring. So now you're dealing with two injuries that you're trying to get on the fast track of getting right.
Right.
Right? You know, so now it's like, that's the hardest part. When you're dealing with two injuries, that's even longer process for you to get back.
Right.
And the most important part, we talked about the reps and everything, you are now getting further and further behind the eight ball as a rookie. It is very difficult to now catch back up, and you are expected to be the number two guy.
And these are injuries that, if it's a hammy,
mm-hmm.
those can linger.
Oh,
if it's turf toe, can linger.
Yes.
They're both things where, okay, you're back, and then one full sprint, and I'm not back.
Yep.
I'm back to the beginning of rehab.
I remember hurting my hamstring and dealing with it all season long. I remember popping it in Buffalo on a route. And just that's one of those injuries that you constantly are thinking about. It's tight, every
right.
movement you make. And when you talk about a guy that is a receiver, and I wasn't a fast guy, so it wasn't a huge difference for me, but maybe N'Keal Harry, an outside wide receiver, this affects him.
So Mike Reese, answering a question from a follower about this, said it is not uncommon for injured players who aren't expected to play to return home to continue their treatment/rehab there.
True.
I don't think Julian Edelman came home.
I don't know.
And by the way, why'd you even take him? If he wasn't going to play, why is he even there just so that you can stick him on a plane on Thursday night back to Boston?
See, this is where I wish I had been there for the joint practices.
See how much he did?
Well, to see how much he even watched. Because
right.
you'd like to say, well, he went for mental reps.
Right.
They wanted him out there for the 4.5 hours
right.
over 2 days of watching everything every receiver did with Tom Brady. But I think the reports were he was doing stretching and some other stuff and then leaving the field.
Okay.
So I don't know how much he watched.
Because
if he didn't do that, now I really have no
right.
idea
so
why he's
there. So he's just basically going out for practice in the beginning, and then he's heading back
right.
in with the trainers to
so
get treatment for
he's
all
he's out
the
there
practice.
For the installation period, that little walkthrough maybe, then
right.
they stretch and then he leaves. I don't think that's worth it. My guess is, just a guess,
he aggravated it. He
either
made it
aggravated
worse.
It, or now they're wondering exactly what it is. Maybe they just assumed it was.
But that's
X.
That's why
now
I
he's getting an MRI up here
it's
to
like,
find out.
It's like Indianapolis assumed Andrew Luck had a
right.
calf injury. Now it looks like it might not be that.
Right. So maybe whatever the feeling is isn't jiving with what they thought it was. And that, like, let's go get an MRI. Let's get our doctors to look at it and figure out exactly.
Right, but
what
in
it
order
is.
To aggravate it, right? Then that means that's why it would have been good to be out there. What did he do when he first got there?
Right.
If he doesn't really do anything, how's he really?
That's why I don't think it's an aggravation as much as you know, you go over and Jim Whalen goes, oh, you probably sprained your ankle. This is where the soreness is. It'll be 3 days.
Yeah, but don't you think he would have had an MRI after the Detroit?
Maybe he didn't,
if it happened in Detroit. But, yeah, I mean, come on now. If it happened in Detroit, right?
Which it did. Right.
You know, so they now, when they get back from Detroit, you know, we got to take an MRI of it, whatever there it might be. That's the first thing they're going to do.
I would think, but maybe for whatever reason they didn't. And now they're trying to figure it out, or?
See, I don't.
We're pretty sure he's not going to play. That's one thing we can say, right? It makes no sense that he's flying back to Boston and then going to fly all the way back to Tennessee to play. So he's not playing. So he's missing a game. He's missing the second game, mm-hmm. which we think is Brady's debut, right? So he's missing game reps.
I expect Brady to play.
A series or two.
I would say one long series, two short series, something like that. Right. So he's missing those. So the first offense, the first Brady is no N'Keal Harry, and we've all presumed N'Keal Harry should be part of that, that he's in the plans for that. So this is...
this is a major setback.
How did Fitzy say it? Less than ideal.
Suboptimal.
Way less than ideal. Suboptimal. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, or panic button.
And then you go, well, no, then you then they play Saturday, and then it's a short turnaround for Thursday.
Correct.
And
which is the ever-important dress rehearsal, third preseason game.
Right. And if he's not able to go there, then that means the time that he's actually get on the field with Brady won't be till potentially... well, it won't be till week
one. Opening night, if he's out there for opening night.
Right.
That's not ideal.
No.
That's suboptimal. Dale's right.
It is not good.
And that goes back to your point of Jacoby Myers, because it's all Jacoby from here on out. He now builds the relationship with Brady and the game tomorrow night, and potentially game three if N'Keal Harry's not able to go, and now going and all those practices in between, and now going into the regular season, who becomes... let's say your second or third wide receiver. I think it's going to be Philip Dorsett as your second, but Jacoby Harry now instantly becomes your third. Now, that's what you get.
And, I don't dislike.
And here's the other part of this, is that I think Bill Belichick has to make a deal for some sort of receiving help here. Tight end, wide receiver. I don't think they've got enough.
Well, they just got Eric Sobert.
Yeah, we're all set then.
But even in a deal, though, Dale.
Thank you.
Right?
Dale.
It won't matter because who's he really getting? He's just bringing
in. Yeah, but you're not getting.
You got Josh Gordon last year.
Well, don't wait for cast-offs. Don't wait for cuts because then I'm with you.
Right.
Then what do
you want? Mohamed Sanu.
Right. So you're saying.
I take him.
So you're saying if Bill's going to make some sort of deal for somebody, it has to be a guy that you look at and go, okay, this guy can instantly come in here and contribute.
So they obviously thought that was the case with Sobert at tight end.
Right.
And I mean, not only did they trade for him, he's right out there with Brady off the bat.
But they traded a seventh-round pick for him.
No,
so
I understand. Trade to get somebody. Don't wait for cast-offs. Don't wait for culls.
But don't you think he's a cast-off, though? Like, when you look at him and you, like...
Now you get the guy. You don't have to worry about having to compete with seven other teams
for him. I understand your point.
And you start the process a couple weeks earlier.
I understand your point. But when you went and got Josh Gordon, in everybody's mind, you went out and got a legit playmaker, right? A guy that was gonna instantly come in and make some plays for you
with lots of baggage.
I'm not. You know, I understand that point, but I'm talking about what they could do on the field with the tight end you got. It's like, okay, we're taking a roll of the dice.
Yeah. I mean, what do you have? 5 catches last year, something like that.
I wouldn't be shocked. Like, and I'm not saying that they're gonna do this, but if they cut him,
oh, not stunning at all.
Right. No.
But the worst part of it is, wouldn't stun me if he was cut. Wouldn't stun me if he were the starter.
Right.
That's how wide open tight end is right now. Because at least at wide receiver, now I know tight end, you bring some stability when Watson comes in October after 4 games. At least wide receiver, we are all under the presumption Julian Edelman's out there. So you have the binky or the whatever you want to call it for Brady to build from. And then you get worried because your little scenario where Philip Dorsett's your number 2 receiver, he's a nice guy. I know he catches everything thrown his way. But when was the last time he made, like, great plays, like a guy you could build around? I would say last September.
I'm not saying you're building around him, you know.
But you kind of are if he's your number 2 receiver.
Well, I mean,
you're building an offensive passing attack around him.
I understand the point, but he becomes the guy that you look at and go, all right, week to week, one game he's going to catch 3 balls, one game he might catch 7 balls. You know, I could see him.
When was the last time he caught 7 balls?
Well, that now he's in a.
Well, what about last September? When Edelman was out, Philip Dorsett, that was his time to shine. And how did they react? we got to go get Josh Gordon. We got to make a trade. We don't have enough.
Well, that, yeah.
So Philip Dorsett, to me, this is the perfect example of he's a good complementary receiver. If he's your four, you're feeling okay about it. If he's your two, you're not feeling so good about it.
Well, I look at him. He's your two because of the N'Keal Harry thing. But you look at what this Patriots wide receiver core is, and I'm with you, Dale. They have to do something. But who's that guy you're getting? Who, I don't want to see you just bring in bodies or whatever. Who's the guy you're going to go out? You know, I know you talked about Mohamed Sanu.
I just threw that out there, by the way. He's a guy that, you know, everybody has sort of tried to tie to them in the past, right, at various points.
Well,
he's a Rutgers guy.
Well,
he's versatile.
Also, he's in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
So he's kind of, not
he's
that he's
third
buried.
Behind, he's
yes.
buried.
Yeah. So
you have Julio Jones and the rookie. Yeah, Ridley, the second, yeah, third year kid out of Alabama.
Calvin,
so they have
Ridley.
A lot of talent, but I don't know if Atlanta just wants to give up to him. You know, some teams like to have depth at receiver.
Right. Well, I mean,
not this one, apparently, but some teams do.
Wow, that was negative.
Yes.
And when you look at depth, right, I don't really say your third receiver is having depth at wide receiver position. I think you look at, usually you got your one, your two, and your third is still part of your game plan, right? He's still somebody that you're building the offense around. If Mohamed Sanu was like maybe the fourth or fifth guy, okay.
Right. Do you know that Philip Dorsett caught seven targets, sorry. But he caught seven passes in the, was that the opener last year, Houston?
Yeah. I told you.
You didn't know that.
I
don't
told
say
you.
Yeah like you knew it. Because when I asked you, when was the last time he caught seven, you're
well,
like, no, but
I,
he's got a chance.
I don't remember, but I knew he had a big game, like four or five catches. For him, is a big game.
Well, his claim to fame is he catches it every time it's thrown his way.
Right.
What did he have, like 13 straight catches,
right,
at
I
one
think it's
point.
Like 75% catch percentage for him.
And the only guy to catch touchdowns last postseason, Philip Dorsett, Brady's go-to guy.
He
Edelman
guy.
Who?
I told you, he's my fantasy sleeper. If you're out there, all you fantasy football guys.
Your fantasy team sucks.
Yeah,
well, no, I said sleeper.
No, suck. Suck.
No, that's
suck
a sleeper
right.
late. Sleeper late. He's gonna be Brady's number two wide receiver. Okay.
Let's go.
Locking in on whatever this day is.
If he is, this team might be in a heap of trouble. Just suggesting. 617-779-7937. I promise. Right back to the calls with you guys after Trending Now.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keith.
TV, movies, video games, spear, and my dogs. All I need.
On WEEI.
Especially the turnover, you've gone through a lot of wide receivers, and you're now throwing to the Gunners and the Braxtons, and,
yep,
and they're competing, and you're having, yep, what appears to be outstanding success. Can you give your appraisal of how it's gone?
Yeah, I think those guys are working hard, and I think training camp's an interesting time with a lot of bodies, and there's a lot of guys in and out, and I think that's really, you know, some years you might have three guys set or four guys set, and I think this year we haven't really had that. So, you know, it's good work for the quarterback just to make a read and then make a throw, and whether we come up with it or not, like, at least we're going to the right place and making a good decisive play. So there's still a lot to be gained, you know, with guys moving in and out. And that's just the way it's been.
Tom Brady talking about the receiving core yesterday. And at one point yesterday, Andy and I were talking about the receivers, 11-on-11 drills, and, you know, the receivers that he had out there to work with. And some of that does not concern me long term. I think Julian Edelman will be fine long term. You know, I think Philip Dorsett is okay. Might not be a sleeper for my fantasy team, but
nope.
He's a sleeper for some.
Fine, I'll take him.
You'll lose.
But I do think that there are some concerns, and there have been this entire offseason, about who's going to catch passes from Tom Brady. Now, you've got a kid who's kind of come out of nowhere and made a big impression, and he's getting a lot of opportunity because of the injuries. But are you going to be shocked if, when the lights get bright, that all of a sudden the wheels fall off that wagon? Because I'm not.
I'll be surprised from what I've seen from him. And we're not talking about, this isn't Gunner going from Bemidji State to
quarterback at Bemidji State.
A cornerback.
Defense. Right.
He caught, what, 99 balls at NC State?
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's not Alabama, but
right,
that's big time football.
Right. You're still playing against some quality opponents.
And from what we've seen from him, there doesn't appear to be that rattle gene,
right,
or that, like, he's handled everything along the way you want a guy
and
to.
He's in a good situation. See, Dale, when you think about, like, the bright lights, right, generally that rattles a guy when he knows that there are a lot of people breathing down my neck, or it's going to be very difficult me to crack that, you know, that wide receiver position. He looks at it And not that he's going to look at it and go, okay, I'm going to get a little bit of an opportunity.
Yeah.
If I drop a ball, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
So I'm not going to be thinking about that every time. Because now he looks, he goes, you know, well, N'Keal Harry's not out here. I'm running with the ones and Brady. And, it's really Julian Edelman. You know, some people think that Philip Dorsett's not, you know, hey, a fantasy guy. So it, when you look at the kind of the route he's going, it's the perfect opportunity for him, knowing that he doesn't have to really, okay, how short is my leash? And
right.
That's that renting space in his head.
Which we've seen in the past, and one year where we didn't see that was the Kembrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson year, because it was a similar situation. Brady knew he had to ride with these guys.
Right.
And he even articulated, I can remember, I don't remember the exact words he said, but I need to go to these guys more often than maybe I would youngsters in the past. And if
right.
a guy drops one, I need to come right back
no
to him.
No freezing him out.
No. There's no blacklisting. There's no, that doesn't mean you're automatically in the circle of trust.
Right.
But you're not
gonna get
ostracized.
Right. You're going to get more
right.
opportunities to get in the circle
so
of trust.
You dropped it. Get your ass back in the huddle and catch
right.
the next one I throw to you because I need
right.
you.
And
at
I'm
some
coming,
point, I need you.
And I'm coming back to you.
Right.
And so now when you're this undrafted kid and you hear Tom Brady go, hey, don't worry about that drop.
Right.
I'm coming back to you. You start to think, okay, I can get it.
When Ben Watson last played for the New England Patriots, he was a 29-year-old. And I was a huge fan of Ben Watson, both personally and professionally. He's back now as a 38-year-old.
Yes.
He's suspended for the first four games of the regular season. I know that he had, 45 catches last year?
Well, yeah.
35 catches, I'm
45
sorry.
45 the year before that.
Yeah, he had 61 receptions the year before. 74 the year before that.
Okay.
Fantasy sleeper.
Could be.
I'll take him over.
And I like Ben Watson a lot, but if a 38-year-old tight end who's going to be suspended for the first four games is your best option at that position, you don't have enough options.
I didn't hear you say that when a 40-year-old Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games of the season and he was your best option.
You didn't have anybody else.
Yeah, but
just saying, if he's good, he's good. And I still think he can contribute. Now, again, if you're just going to say, my passing game is Julian Edelman and Ben Watson,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're not going to have that good a passing game. You either need Jacoby Myers to really step up, N'Keal Harry to get healthy, step up. You're going to have some people open some eyes.
Philip Dorsett to be a sleeper for you.
But Ben Watson, we're not asking you to go out there. And maybe you do duplicate what you did last year, 35 catches. You know, if he's able to get 30 catches and say you're able to get Lacoste, or maybe if Lance Kendricks or even the kid Stuber gets 15, 20 catches. Now you've just replaced statistically Rob Gronkowski's numbers from last year, right? Because you look at numbers from last year, 47 catches, six touchdowns and maybe 500 yards, right. 600 yards. So you're able to replace that production with a couple different guys at that position. Julian Edelman is going to be who Julian Edelman is going to be. And then if Jacoby Myers can come out and be a guy that maybe can catch 40 balls, mm-hmm. and you look and you go, okay, and then you got Philip Dorsett, who I think is going to catch somewhere around 50 or 60 passes.
60 catches for Dorsett. How many touchdowns?
I'd say Dorsett's going to be somewhere around, you know, 7 touchdowns.
That's a good year for him. I am of the belief that this is a year where Tom Brady's going to add to his resume.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is exactly what Wiggy just described. He's going to have to work harder. He doesn't have Gronk to go to. And I know Gronk wasn't great in the regular season.
Right.
But think of the end of last year. When you needed plays, you went to Gronk.
Right. You don't have that binky besides Edelman. But don't forget, you got James White. You got Rex Burkhead.
And you know what? All their jobs are harder. You know why? Because safeties and linebackers aren't as worried about Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
Right.
And I always go back to this game. Rob Gronkowski sat out the Tennessee game last year.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the injury, ankle, back, whatever the reason, he was out. And I believe it was the first throw of the game, or maybe the first third down. They swung it to James White, and the safety just absolutely lit him up for a 3-yard loss. And I thought to myself, that's because of no Gronk right there. That's a different defensive approach when I don't have to worry about Gronk, and it's tougher sledding for those guys. And now they have to do that all year long. Brady has to do that all year long, reading defenses that aren't worrying about Rob Gronkowski in any form or fashion.
See, I think Bill Belichick and his offensive coaching staff and Josh and everybody else, they began the process in the playoffs last year. Last year in the playoffs, they were a run-first team out of nowhere.
Yep.
I mean, Sony Michel had six rushing touchdowns in the playoffs. I think that they're going to try to continue that at the start of the season here because they don't have the same passing options.
Well, you want me to be negative and Mr. Cynic?
Isn't that your job
but
here?
I think a lot of
positive Andy.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, because I think a lot of people are missing that point right there that Dale just made, is that you start to think about this team and you know they can run the football.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
Well, I would. This is negative Andy, just posing
thoughts. I want to see what negative Andy has to say.
We haven't seen the left tackle. The left tackle is Isaiah Wynn. Right, we don't know what he is, right?
We
need to see him prove that when they want to run off left tackle, they can run off left tackle.
Okay.
We also haven't seen Damian Harris, who my understanding is was an NFL-ready third-round rookie out of Alabama that you took.
Who I thought was going to be your goal line back.
Or the guy who's ready to maybe carry the ball 20 times in those three or four games where Sony Michel misses time with his knee injury like he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen Damian Harris. So if you're loading up to be this run-first team like you were in the postseason, I'd like to know if my left tackle, A, who he is, and B, if he can run block. And I'd like to know who my running backs are, because I still have concerns about Sony Michel being a 16-game, 250-carry runner.
See, but when I look at, I don't think of them as loading up to be a running team. What I think of them as being, a team that has the ability to run the football, where Sony Michel might be a guy that gets it 15, 16 times a game. He's not taking on a 25-carry type game. And then you see, you factor that in. You factor now that, James White, we know what he's been able to do. He catches 87 balls last year. Another guy that I expect is going to have a lot of opportunity, and if he can stay healthy and stay on the field, is going to be Rex Burkhead. We know that they like him in a number of different ways.
If he can stay healthy, you said it.
Right.
That's the key.
And so when you look at, when you start looking at guys and you talk about, the safety's coming up, they just need guys that can be out there, whether it's Lacoste, whether it's the Stuber kid, whether it's Lance Kendricks. They need guys to be viable options. So defensively, we go, we don't have to concern ourselves with this guy, but we do have to be aware of him because we can't just let him run down the scene or Brady's going to drop a dime on him and we're going to get beat. That's what I think they got to be able to do.
So Sony Michel, who you said 15 carries.
In certain games.
And Dale, you thought they looked good as a Sony Michel run-first team in the postseason.
They did.
Yeah.
When he carried the ball 24 times for 129 yards against the Chargers, 29 times for 113 yards against the Chiefs, and 18 times for 94 yards against the Rams. 71 carries in three games.
Mm-hmm.
How many carries is that over 16 games?
Yeah, but if you look at...
He was a workhorse.
Right, but that's also playoffs, so I think those numbers are kind of skewed, right? If you now go back to look at when he played in the regular season consistently before he got hurt or when he came, when he came back...
Hell, I'll do it.
Yeah, do that. Find those numbers before, when he comes back. I think when he comes back and he's there for a four or five game stretch, I'd say he's more somewhere around 16, 17, 18 carries a game.
So he was inactive to open the season, you remember. He was coming off missing the preseason with the knee procedure and all that. So he inactive, then Jacksonville's his first game, 10 carries.
Okay.
Then 14 carries at Detroit. You were losing, you were trailing, you got your ass whooped as a team. 25 carries in Miami, against Miami at home.
Mm-hmm.
18 carries against Indianapolis. 24 carries against the Chiefs.
Okay.
Then the Bears game, he left, I believe, in the first quarter. Remember, he grabbed his leg and missed.
Yep.
Then he missed two more weeks after that. Now he's coming off an injury. 11 carries.
Okay.
The week after, so he's theoretically back, 21 for a $133 at the Jets. 17 against Minnesota. 20 at Miami. And then he finished out the year 13, 18, 14. So I guess that would be...
So he's between...
Your type of game is probably 18 for 116 against Buffalo.
Yeah,
that's your type
of game. Yeah, that's where I'm kind of seeing him at.
But when he was at his best, it was north of 20.
Right.
And they might need that more this year.
Right. So I think that's going to be... The fine line is going to be how health... obviously is going to be the health with him. And then are they going to ride him north of 20? Or are they going to say... Here's what we'll do. We'll keep him between 15 and 20.
I think that's what they want to do because that's what he's always done.
Right.
Gurley and Chubb and whoever all those guys were at Georgia.
Right.
And now he's supposed to have Damian Harris, except we haven't really seen Damian Harris. That would be my concern. I like your plan if I can say Sony Michel, 13 of 16 weeks can give me 15 carries.
Right.
And then I got Damian Harris to give me 6, but, 8, but 10, 12.
But where's Damian Harris?
But can't you do that with Rex Burkhead and maybe James White?
No. Not James White. James White is not a runner.
No.
See, that's that was the problem I had last year. And we would talk to James about this. They were so predictable. James White's in the game. Okay, they're going to pass.
Correct.
Sony Michel's in the game. Oh, they're going to run.
Yep.
I knew it. So did every defensive coordinator know it.
That's the other part of the Michel evolution.
He's got to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Well, but now that's more touches.
And James White has to run the ball out of the backfield.
I think that
more.
Ship has sailed.
I don't think it has. I don't think the ship has sailed because I think we've seen James White be successful when he runs the football and he's offset Brady in the gun, where it could be run, but it also could be passed. And that's where it kind of is very similar to what we saw Deion Lewis do and be successful.
But he was a much better runner. You just saw it. He was a much more natural ball carrier.
I mean, James White ran well when he was at Wisconsin.
He did, but now we're in the National Football League, son.
Yeah, I understand that, but you still see, it's not like you don't know how to run the football.
Wait a minute. Did you drop a son on him?
I did.
He's coming over the table.
It makes it seem
you say
like,
son to Matt Chatham, and he wants to fight you.
It makes it seem like, you know, like if you think about James White and the school he came from, Wisconsin, they ran the football.
Oh,
so
hell yeah.
He can
a lot.
He was like, when he entered the league, there was some silly number. He had like the sixth most attempts, not in school history, I believe in conference history.
So he can run the football. He's just not
in the NFL.
Yeah, but he's not a running out of that, like quarterback on the center. Him in the 6 yards away from the quarterback, 7 yards in the home position. He's an offset running back.
Dale's giving you the timeouts.
I'm giving it to both of you.
I wasn't looking.
I'm giving you something different. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to...
Whoop. What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show?
On WEEI.
Six one seven 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 nine seven ninety three seven is the telephone number. Because of the workouts this week between the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans, it's gotten some people thinking along the lines of, obviously, I think Bill Belichick's going to be with the Patriots longer than Tom Brady, but he's not going to be here forever. And at some point, you know, he's going to decide, I don't want to do this anymore. And the question then becomes, you know, who's the next guy in line after Belichick? Because you saw a worthy candidate. Or you're seeing a worthy candidate coaching on the other sideline this week. Realistically, if I give you these four names as the guy who follows Belichick as head coach of the Patriots, tell me which one you like the most. Josh McDaniel, Bill O'Brien, Mike Vrabel, Gerard Mayo.
Yes. The jury is still out.
Yes. His answer was yes.
No, it wasn't can't be a yes. No. Yeah, it can't be yes.
You sighed, and I was like...
I'm clearly contemplating. I was backing your
sigh. I was backing
you want all
your,
four of them?
No, I was backing your sigh. Like, you were like, And I said, yes, the jury... The jury is still out on Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
I would say no to Billy O'Brien.
Why? Too many playoff appearances with bad quarterbacks? Not enough wins in playoff appearances. That's the catch-22 with Billy O'Brien.
Right.
He's found a way to win with bad QBs, but he can't win in the postseason. But I don't know if Bill Belichick could win in the postseason with bad QBs either. That's where you play good teams. It's one thing to beat, you know, Houston with Jacoby Brissett and some game plan in September. Can you win in the postseason against a good football team? He's always had Brady with him.
All right, so then if I gave
you those four, and you got to pick one
right now? Mike Vrabel.
Is it right now or is it down the road?
Well, I mean, we don't know when it's going to happen. I'm just saying realistically.
And you said Brady's gone.
I think Belichick will be here longer than Brady. I don't know that.
Well, but so if you think Belichick's going to be here longer than Brady, when Belichick decides to walk away, then that means Brady's clearly gone, right?
Okay.
Right.
That would him.
All right. Let's say that.
Vrabel would be my guy.
I would lean toward Josh McDaniels. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's a little personal. I really like Josh. And I think I'm buying into the narrative that he's learned. He's made his mistakes. He's gotten to be a head coach. Sort of the Belichick thing, where he's seen a lot, and now he's ready to put all that to use. Mistakes, experience, Belichick way, my way. And I think that would, and it's an offensive league. I love Gerard Mayo. I've said all along, I think he'll be a head coach.
I think he's on that track. Right.
Yeah, I said 2 to 3 years, but
that is so loud.
Vrabel point and kind of, I like Josh too, but the question will become, what has Josh done without Brady as an offensive coordinator, right? Or even as a head coach. So we know when he went to Denver, he had Jay Cutler.
Right, and he got rid of Jay
Cutler. Got rid of Jay Cutler. So it didn't work out with Jay, right?
And then he won with the Purdue guy. Remember when he kicked the Patriots' ass? What did he go, like 6-2 to start that year or something his first
dancing
season?
Around on the field right. in
and
Denver
And then the
afterwards.
Bottom fell out right. over the next year,
right.
calendar
and so,
year.
So he struggled, and then it was Tim Tebow, and it was kind of like a struggle fest. And then he went to, what was it, St. Louis as the offensive coordinator?
Yes, for a year, less than a year.
And it was...
bad.
Who was the quarterback, the kid who got drafted high?
Sam Bradford. And they were I want to say their offense was like 32nd right. in the NFL. It was historically bad.
Right, so there might be a little bit like similar to the Billy O'Brien, where it's like, all right, guy hasn't been able to win in the playoffs. I think the red flag that might pop up with McDaniels is, can he really do it without Tom Brady, right? Can he be the guy?
Can anybody?
I think Vrabel has shown, you know what? They don't have a great quarterback down in Tennessee. They went 9-7 his first year with, I don't think Marcus Mariota is good at all.
I don't really either. And so, I think that's a feather in his cap, right. Winning with Mariota.
Here's the other thing about any of these four is that they're not going to be in the position Belichick is in. In other words, they're not going to come in and say, look, you run everything. You get to be the coach and the GM. My assumption is whichever one of these guys follows Belichick mm-hmm. is going to be the coach. That's
right.
it.
I can't see them. You think they're going to give full control to one of those guys?
I could see.
You got Gerard Mayo with full control now? Not only as a head coach, he's got full control.
He said,
on TV with Tom Curran a year ago.
I said I see Mayo in 2 or 3 years the next coach of the Carolina Panthers. And
wow, you've already picked a team, too?
Yeah, well, here's why. Let me tell you why. Give you my Mayo
very
thing real
interested.
Quickly. Mayo has instantly been springboarded, right? Most guys have to start kind of at the bottom. You know, I was with Sean McVay, and you know, I've seen some of those guys that kind of start at the bottom, and they have to hold cards.
Troy Brown is starting at the bottom right now.
Right, Troy Brown is starting at
That would at be the my example of that. He's a franchise legend. He was a captain, a great player, and he's sort of starting.
He's not even on the staff, technically. Although I think he's going to be.
Let's go back to Mayo. Mayo instantly springboarded to... I know Bill doesn't like to give titles. He already jumped down to Christian's throat about that. And Christian It was extremely, you know, because Christian was basically on his knees apologizing.
The fetal position.
So when you look at, the rest of the league and owners, they don't look at that. They look at Mayo's being the defensive coordinator.
Right.
So if he has success, top five defense this year, top five defense next year, he's black, which adds a little bit to that Rooney Rule effect. I'm telling you, you could see him 2 or 3 years, young, hot guy coming up.
Hot? You think he's attractive?
No, hot in the sense like defensively, candidate. Yes.
We got to keep – did you give the timeout, Sam? I wasn't paying attention.
I know. Neither of you
No,
because
I actually like this discussion. Can we continue this on the other side, as they say?
We will continue on the other side. 617-779-7937. We'll include you in the discussion as well. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Sorry.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.